much for joining us today. You are a member of Your Public Values, so I'm very happy to talk to you in a different capacity today. And you join us as an expert on regional development, business development, and water governance. And we'll discuss together what public value form can take on diverse different continents. You work quite a lot in Asia and in Africa as well.
Great. Hi. Nice to be with you.
So welcome. Janek, my first question to you is, what does public value mean to you?
I look at it as two words that actually comprise quite a lot of meaning, right? When I think about public, I think about society generally, and basically about thereby the environment I'm living in, and value as being, you know, what matters and what is important more from a development point of view. So public value in that sense is kind of everything that is relevant for a positive development of the society or the environment I live in. And that's what I understand under public value.
All right, so positive development for society, for the environment as well. You're very much in the environmental field.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, at the end of the day, for me, if I think about the people and what matters to people is obviously also the living conditions, which are then again very much influenced by the environmental conditions and, yeah, environmental issues as well. So I would consider that as part of public value as well. Mm-hmm. So societal, but environmental and also political and other developments. Yes.
Yeah, then you are in the consulting field. When companies come to you for consulting on business development and you have this touch of public value, what are their main reasons for them to come? Do they try to be transformed? Do they want to embrace sustainability? Or why would they come and consult with you?
So, we work a lot with young and upcoming businesses and entrepreneurs. And especially in that area, I think it's quite interesting to think about how you establish a value proposition and comparative advantage to other well-established companies, right? And I think here kind of the emerging need and interest to find an alternative to just profit-oriented companies is something that resonates very much with people who want to build something, want to build a new company. And in that sense, we're always trying to focus and emphasize kind of really what the value is that goes beyond mere consumption when we talk and work and generally consult with young enterprises. But then on the other hand, we also work with larger organizations and businesses. And I think generally, I perceive that there's a growing interest to actually live up to the expectations that companies are more than just money-making machines, more in the direction of actually generating true value for customers. And value in that sense that it actually adds adds benefits to customers that go beyond just consumption.
Well, we're talking about value integrated into the core of a corporate strategy, not necessarily value advertised as a marketing tool. Mm-hmm. What would that be? Could you give us some example without mentioning company?
I can refer to ourselves, right? We're a company. We are a for-profit company that still is not looking at maximizing its profits, but that is looking at how we can position ourselves strategically with the development of sustainable approaches, with products and consultancy services that help our clients to actually gain a competitive advantage in the market. Sorry. Oh. Hi, are you still?
Okay, so you're back after a very short interruption.
So I think actually what becomes interesting is integrating this concept of public value into the core of services, meaning really trying to design products and service offerings which generate added value for society, in our case by transforming companies towards companies that have that more at the core of what they do. But I think more generally, when we work with social entrepreneurs, for example, what they do is they try to figure out services and products and offers that actually help overcoming some of the key problems, be it in the environmental field or be it related to governance or other aspects of societal life. And I think this is, I mean, just taking out a few examples, when we're working in Lebanon, we have enterprises that really try to tackle the issues of environmental pollution in the country, which are equally at the core of some of the economic issues, as well as obviously something that is very much related to health concerns in the country that has very high cancer rates. And these businesses actually look at these challenges and try to figure out solutions that make a contribution to society by partly solving them. Obviously, it's never the role of a business to solve a complex overall challenge alone, but to actually focus on a problem and trying to find a solution for parts of it, I think is something that where there's actually lots of opportunities for businesses to come in, especially in the environmental field, which then links very much to health aspects, but also to other issues that are important for the public.
That's right. So it's also surfing on certain environmental needs to make profit. Profit doesn't disappear.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think what is important is that profit cannot be the only driver. In our area of work, we try to emphasize the need to focus on solving a problem. But obviously, that problem should be solved in a way that, as a minimum, costs can be covered. And ideally, you can make a bit of a profit that goes beyond just cost coverage in order to build and also gradually scale your businesses.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. So Lebanon that you just mentioned has quite an enormous waste challenge. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're working on waste per se, but and garbage, they do have a big problem that is becoming strategic at the national level. But you also work in the field of water management, water governance, and water is one of the resources that is becoming really scarce. So how do you advise companies with that regard when you work on scarce resources?
So, I mean, I think one, what is important is to clarify both where water is part of the direct business operations, but then also where a business has responsibility that goes beyond just mere production as being a key actor in an environment. So if I'm looking at a beverage producer, obviously it's important to have water as an input factor to be able to have sodas, right? Mm-hmm. Or whatever. And here it's important to make sure that water is being used efficiently. But then beyond that, I think what is important also from a business perspective is to make sure that water as a resource actually stays available for production. And here understanding that obviously there's competing interests for water as a resource and that it's important to actually come to a balanced solution. So that there is not kind of over-competition for a scarce resource that actually can justifiably turn against the company because it's more important that people have access to basic drinking water volumes, right? And I think here the responsibility of a company very quickly moves beyond their own fence line of production towards actually taking a part in the negotiations, in making sure that there's fair negotiations around the allocation of such a scarce resource, and in making sure that overall the conditions around how what is being managed are jointly shaped with the stakeholders that that actually hold the mandate to do so, especially in contexts where capacities are weak and where governance systems don't work effectively.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you are focusing particularly on water, but I also heard that sand was another scarce resource. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder how these big corporations all around the world can continue to function when the resources are becoming so scarce and will soon not be available anymore. Mm-hmm. Is this a debate that is alive in your field?
Yes, absolutely. So I think there's basically two fairly straightforward strategies to looking at kind of innovating business strategies in areas that are subject to diminishing resources. And I think one, there's the whole area of circular economy, the question of resource recovery and reuse, recycling of materials, which is very interesting and which actually yields very relevant and interesting business opportunities to look at what is considered as waste as a resource that can be upcycled and then again converted into new inputs for construction or other areas. But then I think that is one strategy. The other strategy is then to look at what are new alternative ways of building. And I mean, sand is becoming more and more scarce because of the construction industry that builds a lot literally builds on concrete or uses concrete to build, which needs a lot of sand as input. Whereas actually there's other materials that can be used, including wood and more natural resources that can be produced in a way that actually they grow newly again, which provide an alternative. So there's either kind of the way to look at resource recovery and reuse and recycling, or actually the alternative ways of building and construction in this area, including then kind of the opportunities to use these approaches to become more successful in actually positioning a business as a sustainable business in this field.
Yes, so far, these sustainable alternative construction approaches were very much the minority and done by some creative architects and, you know, a bit outside the mainstream construction world. But if we continue to push and if we get to the point where really sand, water, other resources are going to be so scarce, then it is going to be a question of survival, and sustainability is going to be absolutely a necessity for the big companies. So what am I trying to say here? It's like, is there a way to convince the big corporations to go a bit faster than what they have been doing so far? Because it sounds like it's inevitable that sustainability is going to take over at one point.
Well, I think there's kind of two levers for that, right? One, there's the question of demand and where demand is coming from and what is being demanded. So at the end of the day, the role of the end consumer. But then on the other hand, I also see a very important role in the regulation of sectors, but also of corporations. I mean, this links to questions of environmentally sound practices in production and how that is being regulated, how pollution, how abstraction of resources like sand or other things are being regulated, but then also how these regulations are being enforced from public institutions. But then beyond that, I think there's also the question of how corporations are being regulated, what corporate laws actually look like in different countries, and to which extent then sustainability is being given room as a consideration vis-a-vis shareholder interests and the interests to maximize profits for shareholders, which is very critical, especially in Anglo-American corporate law as compared to corporate laws in other countries like Germany, for example, or other European countries where there's a different role for corporations as corporate citizens and the need for them to also live up to certain expectations towards that role. And I think it's on the one hand the demand, and then on the other hand the question of regulation, both of production practices but also of corporations as such. And I think on both of these ends there's a need to actually figure out ways how demand for more sustainable services and products can be increased, but then also how basically unsustainable practices can be regulated in a way that it becomes less and less profitable and feasible to actually pollute, to neglect externalities of production. In our case, for example, as a consulting company, this also links to issues of travel. How can we start actually pricing in carbon emissions for the amount of flights that we're taking, which is a typical topic that we're looking at and wondering and coming up with concepts of how we actually pay for the damage we're creating in these areas. And I think this is what is important, that some changes happen here.
Yeah, so it is a bit slow, but it's these are fundamental changes. But listening to you, I'm increasingly becoming aware that what we called values, and for quite some time we were told that we were really a minority of the philosophers who really cared about society and business, is actually becoming a necessity and is going to be at the core. We hear every Friday the kids saying that they should be in control of their own future and saying that things are getting worse. So these values are indeed going to drive the economy at one point. It's just listening to the concepts and the words that you're putting.
For me, I mean, from my point of view, what is important is to actually recognize these challenges, but then look at them as opportunities to find solutions to them. And I think this is also where I see huge potential for transformation of companies as we look at very critically with good reason today towards also part of the solution to the problems that are growing in relevance in our lives and that are sometimes being effectively solved by public institutions, but in other instances can be tackled through very disruptive business ideas that just rethink the way how we look at a challenge and figure out a way how to turn it into an opportunity. And I think this is probably what is needed just as much as better enforcement of regulations, as well as more demand from users, is also every now and then an entrepreneur that is clever enough to convert a really big challenge into a really big business opportunity and build something out of it that actually becomes a solution that benefits us.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. We are quite unfortunately coming to the end of our conversation. Yannick, when a company or a CEO comes to see you and feels a bit overwhelmed by the sustainability issue, what's your advice in terms of priorities? What would you tell this person to care about first?
It's a difficult question.
From the context, but having said that.
Well, I mean, I think it is very important to look at the area of work of that company, but at the end of the day, I think another key issue is really to try to figure out what the mandate of that company is supposed to be, what the role of that company is supposed to be, and what the CEO wants to achieve with its company.
You mean the purpose?
Yes, but the purpose beyond the mere business, but looking a bit at really what is the ambition of building a successful company and what success actually constitutes for the head of the company as well as the people working in the company. And in many cases, I would say that goes beyond just earning money. Also because especially in the environmental field, I mean, when I'm now thinking about water companies who we've worked with, we oftentimes had instances, especially in areas where there's lack of good services that are being delivered, that staff is being beaten up while they do their work. And there's just a very bad perception of certain types of companies. And I think you cannot build a good reputation for a company just by focusing on profits.
Yeah.
Beyond the reputation for your shareholders. But I tend to doubt that that is the only thing that matters. And that is where I would say then kind of question of what the vision, mission, and really the triple bottom line of a company should be, needs to be established to then from there on move towards actually specifying where contribution could be made to more sustainable development.
Mm. Thank you, Yannick. And it's been a pleasure to talk to you again about public value. And I wish you the very best in the next few months. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you so much.